Well, just before we come back to that passage, I should explain that much of this sermon was prepared prior to last night. And so there'll be some things that you might think, well, that sounds a little bit out of date now after what Boris has told us. But last night I thought, shall I just scrap the whole thing and start again? But then a verse came to my mind that I think helps put this in context and means I can keep my sermon without having to change it all, and it will help us understand it. The verse that helps put this in context is 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. You were ransomed, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold. And in my mind, I thought, or government legislation. But instead, you were ransomed with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Our salvation is not based on something flimsy, something changeable, something that can be cancelled out. But our salvation is based on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something that cannot change. And so we're going to think a little bit about some Christmas bubbles. And now, while our Christmas bubbles have been burst, we're going to be thinking about a bubble that can never be burst. We'll be thinking about something far more solid than the hope of a Christmas bubble. So, with that said, let's go back to John chapter 1, shall we? And we're going to think especially about verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, social distancing. If I'd said those two words to you this time last year, you would have had no idea what I meant, would you? I don't think I'd ever put those two words together. And if I did put those two words together, I wouldn't have known what it meant. But now, I can imagine most of us are a bit sick and tired of hearing about social distancing. Everywhere you go, it is all about distance, isn't it? You go to the shops, and there's a sign on the door, and then you go through, and on the floor there are all of these lines that are marked out 2 meters, and then there's even footprints that show you where you're allowed to stand as you queue up to pay. You go to the train, and you go and catch a train wherever you're going, and there's signs on the platform saying, stay 2 meters away. And then there's another sign on the door, and then the train doors open and you get in, and there isn't enough room to socially distance anyway. What's the point of a sign? You can't even come to church without someone telling you about social distancing. Usually me, I'm sorry. Wherever you go, there are all of these reminders. Stand back. Keep away. Keep at a safe distance. Don't come too close. But now, the Christmas bubbles are, or at least they were, here to save the day. Finally, we had the prospect of being able to see our families without becoming criminals. We could join up with other households without the fear of the law hanging over our heads. But of course, the prospect of the Christmas bubble, that was just a taste of what is to come. Now we had this prospect of celebrating for just a little while our 5 days of freedom that are no longer. But there's hope on the horizon, isn't there? Hope that one day life would go back to the way it was. Maybe. Perhaps that hope seems a little bit further away now. But you know, in many ways, the story of coronavirus is the story of humanity. There was a time when the human race lived without a care in the world. No pain, no suffering, no pandemics, no death. And all because there was no sin. There was nothing wrong with this world. But then all of that was ruined. We turned our back on God. We rejected him. We rebelled against him. And we sinned. We chose our sin. And now sin is a disease that has infected every single human heart. Every single one of us. And since that day, we have been socially distanced from our Creator. We have been separated from Him because of our sin. And wherever you look, there are these reminders, these warning signs. Stand back. Keep away. Don't come too close. You know, at the entrance to the Garden of Eden, where humanity was in that perfect relationship with God, there was no blue sticker with the two people and the line saying 2 meters in between them. No, instead there was an angel with the flaming sword guarding the way to keep us out, to keep us at a distance. When the Israelites were going through the desert, they had that tabernacle in the camp to represent God's presence. And the angel with the flaming sword was embroidered into a curtain in the tabernacle. But even outside of the tabernacle, Moses and Aaron's family, they were all there to guard the entrance into God's presence, to make sure no one came too close. Keep away. And in order to come into the presence of God, there were all of these rituals, all of these ceremonies that you had to go through. The priests had to wear particular clothes and in a particular way, their own religious equivalent of PPE and hand sanitizing gel, if you will. The fear of the law was hanging over their heads. Come too close or approach in the wrong way and you will become religious criminals. Stand back. Keep away. Don't come too close to God. Now, Boris tells us that the reason we have to obey the social distancing laws is, quote, one person's cough is another person's death knell. We have to watch out and keep at a distance because we don't want what is just a mild symptoms for us to be death for someone else. But you know, in our social distancing from God, in the pandemic of sin, there is no doubt that the result will be death. No one gets away with just a cough. No one escapes without showing any symptoms. No, the wages of sin is death. An unholy, unrighteous, sinful human being crossing paths with a holy, righteous, pure, sinless God, that only means one thing, and that is judgment. But now, Christmas is here to save the day. Not by creating bubbles, not by relaxing the laws for a couple of days, but instead by a baby in a manger. Look again at that verse. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who's the Word? Well, verse 1 tells us who the Word is. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is God. And so when we rebelled against God, when we rejected Him and we chose to sin, it was the Word we were rejecting. We have been separated from the Word, socially distanced from the Word. And yet, here He is. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God has taken human form. He has come to this earth. We weren't allowed to go anywhere near Him. And so He comes to us. The rules of social distancing don't apply to God. And so He gets right up close and personal, mixing it with the very same people who had rejected Him. God draws near to us. The Word doesn't stand afar off. He didn't come into this world and live as a monk or a recluse tucked away in a cave somewhere. No, He came right up close to the people who had rejected Him. When He met a leper, Everyone else would have taken two or three, or probably more like six steps backwards, but not the word. He came close, and he even touched the leper. When he met a demon-possessed man, everyone else would have run for safety, but not him. The word draws near and speaks to him. The word dwelt among us. What an incredible thought. That he will not socially distance from his people. We had walked out on God, but he came after us. Jesus of Nazareth, the one whose birth we celebrate at this time of year, that baby in the manger, he is the Word made flesh. The little Lord Jesus, who lays down his sweet head as we sing in the carol, he is God in human form. Now, surely that's bad news. Because I said a moment ago, didn't I, that sinful human beings crossing paths with a sinless, pure God, that means judgment. Surely this is going to end in our death. Surely this means Jesus is being born in the manger so that he can come to bring the full force of the law crashing down on our heads. Well, no, not so. Look at verse 17. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. God stepping across that socially distanced divide. It was not to condemn us, not to crush us, not to punish us, but to save us. He didn't come into this world to bring a lawsuit against us. Instead, he came with love and kindness. He came with grace and forgiveness. In fact, far from putting us to death because of our sin, Jesus is willing to be put to death in our place. Far from condemning us because of all that we had done wrong, Jesus removes the infection of sin from our system. He carries it around in his own body. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Sinful human beings crossing paths with the sinless God should have spelled death for us. But instead, it is him that dies. The Word made flesh is the one who dies so that we may live. And so now, because our sin has been judged and punished and paid for as Jesus dies on that cross, because the Word became flesh, dwelt among us and took our punishment, it means we no longer have to be socially distanced from God. The barrier that was keeping us apart is taken away. All of those signs that said, stay back, keep away, all of the reminders to keep out and don't come too close, they're all taken down. They have been removed, and now we are allowed access to our Heavenly Father. You know, I was really looking forward to being in a Christmas bubble with my family. But they've got nothing. And they tell you this as well. They've got nothing in comparison to the bubble that we are placed in because the Word became flesh. We are allowed to join households with heaven. We can live in a relationship with God without the fear of the law hanging over our heads. We are no longer criminals, not because the laws have been relaxed, but because the law has been satisfied. It has been paid for by Jesus. Now, on December 25th, when those lucky lot in tiers 1, 2 and 3 sit down for their Christmas dinner, I'm sure they'll enjoy it. But I'm sure they'll also be very aware that the virus is still out there. They'll have a little taste of normality, but they'll know we're not back to normal just yet. And it's the same for us as Christians, isn't it? isn't it? The Word has become flesh. He has brought grace and truth. He has welcomed us into the household of God. But sin is still out there. We have a taste of what it was like in the Garden of Eden. We have a taste of what it will be like to be in a perfect relationship with God. But we're not there yet. We're in a temporary bubble. But one day, everything will be put right. We will once again live in a world where there is no more pain, no more suffering, no more pandemics, no more death. Because on that day, there will be no more sin. That day will be infinitely better than the end of coronavirus, whenever that happens. Because, you know, when COVID ends, there will still be war. There will still be famine. There will still be abuse. There will still be other diseases. Do you remember other diseases? There will still be death. But not when Christ comes again. When Jesus Christ comes for a second time, every evil will be gone. When Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, in his second coming, he's no longer bringing the grace and the truth and the patience of God. Instead, he brings the justice and the judgment that sin deserves. He brings what is necessary to get rid of sin once and for all. And on that day, if you are not a part of God's household, if you are not in that original Christmas bubble, then you will find that you are the sinful human being crossing paths with a sinless God, and that will spell judgment for you. But for everyone who is in that bubble, for everyone who is a part of God's household, they will enjoy a perfect eternity where sin is no longer a threat. So the question that you should be asking, the question I hope you're asking, is this. How can I be in that original Christmas bubble? How can I have the social distancing between me and God taken away? Well, Christmas bubbles, they were only supposed to be three households, weren't they? Our family was four households, and so we had to figure out who's in, who's out, who misses out on the festivities. Well, Boris has answered that for us. At the point is this, Christmas bubbles are only three households. They are limited. Well, there are no such limitations on the true Christmas bubble. There is no maximum capacity on God's house. Listen instead to verses 11 and 12. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The Word has become flesh, and he has dwelt among us. But the question is now, what do you make of him? As we gather around the baby in the manger, taking shelter in the stable, what do you think? Do you think, oh, it's a nice story. It warms my heart. Do you think, oh, that's a nice nativity play. Do you think, oh, that'd make a good Christmas card. Or do you think, wow, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And now this is the Word made flesh. This is God in human form. Do you receive him? Do you believe in him? Do you trust that he is who he claims to be? Because that is the only thing keeping you out of God's household. We were once in that perfect relationship with God, but that was broken because we turned our back on God and we chose our sin. And so now you must turn your back on your sin and you must return to God. You must embrace the one that you have rejected. And that is only possible because he has already made the first move. Because the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ ignored social distancing protocol. He drew near to us, taking the form of the baby boy who would grow up to be the man dying on the cross for your sin. And so now he stands ready and waiting, ready to welcome you into the family, ready to bring you home. If only you would take hold of him. If only you would trust him. If only you would live with him as Lord over your life. You must bow the knee to the baby in the manger. Now, the TV will tell you that Christmas is all about family. It's all about reunions. It's all about presents. It's all about hope after a horrible year. You know, in many ways, the TV is right. But it's also very, very wrong. You see, Christmas is about family. But not your family, not my family. It's about God's family. It's about his son who came into the world so that we could be his children. Christmas is about reunions, but not reunions with our loved ones. It's about a reunion with our Creator that we once rejected. Christmas is about presents. Well, actually, it's just about one present. It is about the gift of eternal life that comes through Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection. And Christmas most certainly is about hope. But not hoping for the end of this virus. It's about the hope of Christ's second coming, where he will put an end to the virus of sin once and for all. So, social distancing. Now that our Christmas bubbles have been well and truly burst, as our 5 days of freedom have turned into yet more a time just stuck in our homes, let's rejoice that the promise of our God is infinitely more reliable, more unchanging than the promise of any politician. Let's rejoice that we have been redeemed, not with perishable things, not with something that can just be taken back in an instant. No, we have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our rescue from sin is not based on something that could fade or be changed at the last second. No, our salvation is based on the Word made flesh. Jesus Christ overcame the barrier between us so that we could enjoy not just a couple of days of festivities, but he overcame that barrier so that we could enjoy an eternity of freedom from the virus that has gripped each and every one of us. The Word became flesh, and he has dwelt among us. And so now all that is left is to say to all who receive him, to all who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Let's pray together. Dear Lord our God, we confess that because of our sin, because of all that we have done wrong, we cannot come to you. We are separated from you. We are blocked from entering your presence. But Lord, we thank you so much that you have come near to us, that you have sent your Son into this world to do away with the barrier that stood between us. Lord, for many of us, we had a hope of seeing loved ones at this time of year. But Lord, we thank you that even though that hope can be taken away, that we have a far greater hope, a hope that is not subject to change. A hope that cannot perish. We thank you that we have the hope that just as we have been called your children, that one day we will be able to go and live in your household and sin will be done and it will be rid of. And so, Lord, we thank you so much that the Word became flesh. Thank you for dwelling among us. We pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.